Hey, it's a local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host. And my guest today, Dane Dirksmeyer Liming and Logan Wayne, they're opening up a new place here in town called Panther Combat Sports. And they're into American Jiu-Jitsu. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yes. And starting a new gym, a new club.
Starting a new academy here. Starting August 5th, we'll be opening officially. We're doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, or American Jiu-Jitsu, rather, for kids and adults on Monday, Wednesday. And then we do wrestling and MMA / striking on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
I got you. And are both of you there when you're teaching this? Both of them teaching together?
Yeah. Okay. I'm technically, I guess you would consider, the head instructor. Dane would be the other instructor at the gym as well. He does all the wrestling, and I'm doing the jiu-jitsu side for the adults.
Okay. So you guys are both from Jerseyville?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. I've been here since my sophomore year.
I was born and raised here.
Yeah. Okay. Where did you come from originally?
North originally. I started out in a town called Jacksonville, then I moved to a smaller town called Virginia, Illinois.
Know them both.
There you go. Yeah. Not many people do. Yeah. Up by Beardstown. And then my sophomore year of high school, it just worked out, and we moved here, and I finished out my high school here in Jerseyville.
Yeah. Now, did you guys wrestle in high school?
I did. I wrestled since I was 5 years old.
That was
a thing I always wanted to do, and luckily I was able to do it. Started wrestling through when I was younger and went through high school, and then it led me to jiu-jitsu.
And how about you, Dwayne?
I actually found wrestling quite intimidating in high school. Maybe if I had grown up around it, it did not seem like the culture or vibe I would have been into at the time.
Yeah, so what'd you do?
I played tennis.
I see.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
You know, I taught school for many years. My first year teaching, I got to know this wrestling coach, and he'd been there for a while. He was old school, and he was a pretty good wrestling coach. And he says, wrestling is the best sport to teach because everybody, you know, if you have any issues, you say, you know, if somebody's out of line a little bit or not paying attention or acting up, you say, hey, Billy, come on up. I'm going to show a new move today to the class.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah. It's just like, so in wrestling, when you're in a wrestling team, you pretty much, are pretty good. You don't get out of line too much. Because who is your coach?
Alan Snyder.
Okay. Is that the way Alan was? Would he say, oh, come on up here?
A little bit, yeah.
Dane, I'm going to show you a new move, right?
Yeah, if we weren't paying attention or whatever.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, what would you call it? A self-correcting culture.
Yeah.
Somebody now, gets out of line.
When you guys are teaching, how do you do it?
No.
Not on purpose. Like, every once in a while, you ask the joke of, like, if it's a bad move, like a crank or a real nasty choke. You'll get somebody to gaslight by saying, like, oh, can you show that again? Or, oh, I didn't see that. Can you show from another angle? And it's bad. Like, if you don't like the person that coach is yukiing on, that's the move to do.
Okay, so you're opening up at 1005 West Exchange, which is...
105.
Correct.
105, which is the Hennigan Rents Insurance Company's in the front, and you guys are in the back.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, right there on State Street.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you got the place. How big of a space do you have there?
It's 1,400 total square feet. Uh-huh. We batted off 800 square feet, so we've got quite a bit of...
Matted.
Yeah, so okay. The way we work is the more mat space you have, the more students you can have, because mm-hmm. it's a per-pair group type of sport. You have to have two to kind of play. So we maximize the space available by putting 800 square feet of mat, and we're putting up mats on the wall and everything, so it's going to be a true blue gym.
Yeah. Hey, tell me about jiu-jitsu. Seems like jiu-jitsu is becoming popular. The UFC, of course, is, you know, pretty big. It's sure. Everybody's doing it, or they're loving it, you know what I mean? Tell me about jiu-jitsu, where it came from, how it got here, how you guys got into it.
Sure. I'll give my origin story, and I'll let Dane jump in on his. So jiu-jitsu itself started out, I think, in the early 1900s. A gentleman from Japan came over and ended up teaching his art, jiu-jitsu, to the Gracie family. And then they sort of morphed it by taking it from a stand-up kind of judo-based art into a ground-fighting art and making it their own, giving it the name Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And then in the early 90s, the Gracie family brought the art to the States, if you will, had the UFC 1 where Hoyler beat everybody that night in a no-holds-barred competition. And that essentially, when I saw that, is what made me go, oh, you don't have to be big and strong to beat a much stronger, bigger opponent. You can apply tactics and skill.
Okay, so the UFC, which is the ultimate fighting championship, right? That started what year?
1994.
That was the first year. Mm-hmm. So all these guys, all these fighters, boxers, wrestlers, everybody, and they were looking for the ultimate fighter,
the
correct?
Best art, essentially. Yeah. Like a real-life kumite, if you remember the old-school Van Damme movie.
Yeah, right. So they're looking, and all these different guys from just America, or could they come from all over?
They came from all over. There were Dutch kickboxers. There was a Samoan wrestler who came in. Like, there were random people.
Okay. And you remember watching this, huh?
Yeah, I remember watching it. It was later, I think it was the early 2000s when I had found it on the internet, like on YouTube, or maybe it was a DVD that a friend had. And just watching him do that and being like, man, that is a superpower almost. But then finding out that like it didn't exist where I lived when it first started. So I ended up having to wait a few years until 2008, I think, is when I found my first like MMA gym and found a coach that could teach Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It wasn't ranked or anything. It was just what they considered like no-gi wrestling or submission grappling. But once I kind of got the taste of it and realized this is really what it was advertised to be, like you can beat up a much bigger person, I decided to like commit myself to it. Like I have to learn everything I can about it. I found a school that offered, was taught, I think, by a brown belt at the time, which was unheard of, just so I could like get ranking. You don't get rankings doing no-gi all the time necessarily, and to be a teacher you have to be a black belt, and I wasn't going to get there doing the no-gi. So I went out and found it and committed myself, spent almost 18 years just in that art, learning it, perfecting it, and now I'm here with my friend opening up a new gym to kind of bring it to the community. What about you?
I started wrestling since I was five. With wrestling, it was just like a big part of my life of like just getting in there, going headstrong. And then I did move away for a little bit in 2013 to Clarksville, Tennessee. And then my father-in-law introduced me to his sensei, which did like karate, jiu-jitsu, all different kinds of other things. And he's like, would you like to try jiu-jitsu? And I'm like, what is that? Which I never heard of it before. So he's like, it's like wrestling, but with submissions and everything. And I'm like, So I tried that first class. I was already hooked. So since 2014, it was hooked. And then unfortunately, my instructor moved away. And, well, I was probably stopped doing jiu-jitsu for about a year. And then I moved back in 2019. And, well, no, 2018. And then 19, I found the gym where Logan was coaching, and ever since then, it was just my heart was always in jiu-jitsu.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have a couple instructors here for jiu-jitsu, American jiu-jitsu, and they're getting ready to open up a new gym. So, I think it's really good for people to know how to defend themselves. I mean, when I was growing up, we didn't have wrestling or anything at school, but I had an older brother, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he's five years older, and he was actually, he was kind of into fighting, I mean, back in those days, sure. We're talking like 50 years ago, it was like common for kids to
Settle their disagreements that way.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're halfway good at it, you had a lot of disagreements to settle.
Yeah, you know? Apparently. Yeah.
But I can remember, you know, I was 5 years younger, and I'd be walking, if I would, anyone, yeah, I was walking through the hallway, we'd meet each other. It's like, pop, 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 pop. You know,
making you a man.
Yes. But, you know, I mean, kids, people need to know how to defend themselves, you know?
Otherwise, they're going to run into somebody who does know how to fight, and they're not going to know how to respond in that scenario.
You get in a situation, especially if you're hanging out in
anywhere.
You know, I mean, it could be anywhere, but especially like, you know, bars, you know, or any place like that.
A sports game, a concert.
Oh, yeah.
Any place.
Yeah.
You're an isolated walking out to your car in a dark parking lot after work.
Yeah.
Where wouldn't you want to know how to fight?
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember once being it was like a stock car race we were at, and I got real excited and I jumped up and I hit my brother-in-law. I was young, you know. I hit his beer and it went all over the guy in front of him, and the guy turned around. You know, and he was like, oh boy. And then
I am so sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, let me start my three-part scenario. I'm sorry here.
But I just remember my brother-in-law. I mean, the guy looked around, and the guy was looking at my brother and goes, I advise you turn around, sit down, otherwise you're going to eat this. But, you know,
I mean,
it's just, yeah, whether he had it or not, I didn't think he was much of a fighter, but he would convince
me. Sometimes those are the people that surprise you.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I think this is a really good thing that you guys are doing, you know. As far as it's any age, right?
Yep. Well, as long as we like to have kids that can obviously like pay attention and communicate a little, like, you know, if they have to go to the restroom, if they don't feel good or they don't understand. But, you know,
What's the good age to start?
Gosh, I would say 7 or 8 is usually like the ideal age because they sort of pay attention. They can be directed and part of a group activity. But you never know. Sometimes you run into those athletic kids with high athletic aptitude at 5 that just become world beaters, so you'd love to get a hold of them the sooner, the better. Uh-huh.
Now, you have the 3 T's that you were talking about.
Right.
Explain the 3 T's that you teach.
Right. So the 3 T's is something that we teach the kids in our kids' class. So this is more along the lines of like you're being bullied or picked on in school. The 3 T's stand for talk, tell, and tackle. So the first thing we teach them is to talk to the bully, to try to use their words to communicate to the person bothering them that they don't like the situation, and communicating clearly what they want to have stop, what action needs to stop, and then how to escalate it. If the kid doesn't stop, then they go to a teacher or a trusted adult explaining what's happening. And then by the third time is the tackle, where you can no longer use your verbal jujitsu, so you rely on your physical jujitsu to get the other person to the ground and control the situation until another adult can come help.
Okay. Well, let's talk about jujitsu.
Okay.
Because, like you said, you had when it first came to America, you know, you had these boxers and you had all kinds of different people. But jujitsu is kind of a ground game, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. So, kind of explain the tactics of jujitsu.
Sure. I'll give you my simple explanation, and I'll let Mr. Dane throw one in if he wants to. But to me, jiu-jitsu is wrestling with an extra position. Like, we fight off of our back. We have sweeps and submissions versus wrestling where it's all top pressure, takedowns, and pins, and then it's over. We add to, once you get it to the ground, it kind of just starts then.
Okay. It's submission. Mm-hmm. Just because you're on your back doesn't mean you're out.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Any comments on that?
I mean, like jiu-jitsu, so there is the gi, so that's the uniform. So people wear clothes, right? Well, you use your gi to choke out the other person or anything. So, wouldn't you think you can use your clothing to choke out somebody or something?
You do? You use your clothing?
So our kimonos, like I showed you that video earlier.
Yeah.
Our uniforms are...
Well, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, a gi.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like...
It looks like a karate, yeah. It looks like pajamas. I like to refer to them lovingly as danger pajamas. But yeah, we learn how to use our clothes for leverage, control, and submission or positional dominance. Whether that's a collar choke where we use the collars to cut up the blood supply to the brain, or our legs or our arms are part of your uniform. Like, it's a roulette of options for us.
Okay. But it's about tackling and positioning and holds, right?
Control, yeah. Control,
yeah, yep. Controlling, okay.
And no punches. Like, it, to be technically and clinical about, like, what jiu-jitsu is versus, like, MMA or any other type of martial art, there's no striking with our art. It's all ground-based control and submission.
Okay. And MMA, you can strike. Correct. Anything goes in MMA.
That's where you take every art, wrestling, kickboxing, Muay Thai, and jiu-jitsu or sambo, and you mix those all together and go, anything goes within this rule set.
And how do you win in that?
Knocking the person out or getting them to submit.
One of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And usually it's in a round.
Like an octagon, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, an octagon. Yeah,
yeah, that's what the UFC has it licensed as, is their octagon.
Yeah. Now, did you guys ever compete in anything like that?
I've trained in MMA. I have done one cage fight when I thought it was a great idea and realized I did not like getting punched in the face that much. So I turned around and focused more on the jiu-jitsu or submission grappling.
Okay, aspect. And there's no, you don't wear gloves or anything?
Not in jiu-jitsu, no. But in MMA, you do wear, like, we practice with, like, regular gloves or 5-ounce gloves, which cover the fingers and knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
In the UFC or most MMA cage fights, they use gloves that are finger individual, so they're, like, 4-ounce gloves. They're not the big boxing gloves that you typically think of.
Yeah. So, Dane, have you ever done any cage fighting?
A little bit, but not in, like, professional or anything. Or,
yeah.
Like, amateur. It was just with friends that used to do it, and when I went to gyms or something like that had it, I would do it a little bit.
Yeah. What's your goals here, putting this gym together? What are you looking to do? What are you thinking about as far as, okay, we're going to put this gym together? Of course, you're going to teach young people, mm-hmm. but you can teach older people. You could teach somebody my age if I
Absolutely.
Wanted to join, right?
Yes.
So I guess a good way to look at it for our business is it's column two different ways. We have column A, which is for everybody, you know, you, me, whoever wants to come in and learn to protect themselves, be part of a positive community. I refer to our gym as exclusively inclusive. Everybody's welcome to try it, 100%. It's not just...
Girls, too?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Okay.
I have two daughters.
Okay. I have three daughters that enjoy it.
Okay, yeah. All right.
So, yeah, it's open to anyone. Again, it's comfort level. It's hard to kind of make yourself want to do it. I understand that. But so you've got that column, which is what we consider, like, Gen Pop. That's people who just want to, like, come learn this art. And you have people that are in column B, which are who want to test themselves. So it's more than just learning the art. You've learned the art. Now you want to see how good you are compared to other people who know the art. So the competitive side.
Okay.
So we offer both sides. It's just we want people to understand that we're there to meet your goals either way, whether it's to be healthy, happy, and with a new hobby and friends, or you want to become and come over and compete and be like a world dominator.
I see. And so you go into competitions too? Do you have competition? You're gonna have competitions at your gym?
No, it's not gym based. It's like right now you have regional based competitions, which are like, gosh, AGF, American Grappling Federation, Fuji, what's another one? Sub-Onlys.
Naga.
Those are different, like, promoters that hold regional ones. And then the big ones are the IBJJF, the International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation. Like, that's would be the MLB of our sport, is where you go to compete at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. I see. So... what's it cost to join or, you know, to get taught jiu-jitsu?
I'm glad you asked, Chris. That's a great question. So right now, up until the 14th of August, so the week after we open, we're running a special where if you join up on our website, you pick the, grand opening, I think,
What's your website?
Panthersports.com.
Okay.
You can go there. You can also check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
But if you go to our website, you can sign up through there. We're running a grand opening special where you can get access to our unlimited class that we normally charge $200 for a month for 100.
Unlimited class.
Yeah, so you can do MMA, wrestling, and jiu-jitsu versus we offer those individually or standalone at 120 per.
Okay.
And then if you join after the 14th, but still want to do all of the programs, it goes back up to $200.
Okay. All right. So if you join early,
you get a deal.
All right. And anything else people need to know? Oh, I have a couple, two or three different kids. Do we get a deal on that?
Absolutely. A family that trains together stays together. We love that. No. So the way that works is for the unlimited one, you can sign up, and even if your kids just do the jiu-jitsu part, that's fine. You'll still get it at $100, but each additional family member is a $60 add-on to the base fee of $100. And then if after the 14th, it'll be $120 for the base fee, and then still $60 for each additional member.
Okay. Not bad.
We think it's pretty reasonable for everything that we're offering, where it is, and what it could be. We're hoping a lot of people will come out and check it out when we first open and kind of get it on the ground floor, of course.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. It's for somebody to have self-confidence, regardless if they're a boy or girl or a young man,
young men,
women, you know, confident enough that you could defend yourself if you needed to, in a situation.
A Leo or a law enforcement officer.
Yeah,
would
for
love
sure.
to have you. You know, arrest tactics are super important so that you know how to control, not just to keep the person on the ground, to keep them under control, but to stop yourself from getting hurt from falling off too. It's super important to know all that stuff.
Well, Dane, Logan, thanks so much for coming in. Best of luck to you. And I think you'll do well.
I hope you're right. Appreciate Chris, appreciate it. Taking
thank
the
you.
Time.
You guys take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.